Gerusalemme Liberata, Part 2 of the 7th Book. While those high spirits of this champion good, with love and honor's care, are thus oppressed, while he torments himself, Argantes would, waxed weary of his bed and of his rest, such hate of peace, and such desire of blood, such thirst of glory boiled in his breast, that though he scant could stir or stand upright, yet longed he for the appointed day to fight. The night which that expected day forewent, scantly the pagan closed his eyes to sleep. He told how night her sliding hours spent, and rose ere springing day began to peep. He called for armor, which incontinent was brought by him that used the same to keep. That harness rich old Aladine him gave, a worthy present for a champion brave. He donned them on, not long their riches eyed, nor did he aught with so great weight incline. His wonted sword upon his thigh he tied, the blade was old and tough, of temper fine. As when a comet far and wide descried, in scorn of Phoebus midst bright heaven doth shine, and tidings sad of death and mischief brings, to mighty lords, to monarchs and to kings, so shone the pagan in bright armor clad, and rolled his eyes great swollen with iron blood. His dreadful gestures threatened horror sad, and ugly death upon his forehead stood. Not one of all his squires the courage had to approach their master in his angry mood. Above his head he shook his naked blade, and gainst the subtle air vain battle made. "The Christian thief," quoth he, "that was so bold to combat me in hard and single fight, shall wounded fall inglorious on the mould, his locks with clods of blood and dust bedight, and living shall with watery eyes behold how from his back I tear his harness bright. Nor shall his dying words me so entreat, but that I'll give his flesh to dogs for meat." Like as a bull, when pricked with jealousy, he spies the rival of his hot desire, through all the fields doth bellow, roar, and cry, and with his thundering voice augments his ire, and threatening battle to the empty sky, tears with his horn each tree, plant, bush, and briar, and with his foot casts up the sand on height, defying his strong foe to deadly fight. Such was the pagan's fury, such his cry. A herald called he then, and thus he spoke, "Go to the camp, and in my name defy the man that combats for his Jesus' sake." This said, upon his steed he mounted high, and with him did his noble prisoner take. The town he thus forsook, and on the green he ran, as mad or frantic he had been. A bugle small he winded loud and shrill, that made resound the fields and valleys near. Louder than thunder from Olympus' hill seemed that dreadful blast to all that hear. The Christian lords of prowess, strength, and skill within the imperial tent assembled were. The herald there in boasting terms defied Tancredi first, and all that durst beside. With sober, those 10 which chosen were by lot, and viewed at leisure every lord and knight. But yet for all his looks not one stepped out with courage bold to undertake the fight. Absent were all the Christian champions stout, no news of Tancred since his secret flight. Bohemond far off, and banished from the crew, was that strong prince who proud Gernando slew. And eke those 10 which chosen were by lot, and all the worthies of the camp beside, after Armida false were followed hot, when night were come their fight to hide. The rest, their hands and hearts that trusted not, blushed for shame, yet silent still abide. For none there was that sought to purchase fame in so great peril, fear exiled shame. The angry duke their fear discovered plain by their pale looks and silence from each part. And as he moved was with just disdain, these words he said, and from his seat upstart, "Unworthy life I judge that coward swain, to hazard it even now that wants the heart, when this vile pagan with his glorious boast dishonors and defies Christ's sacred host. But let my camp sit still in peace and rest, and my life's hazard at their ease behold. Come, bring me here my fairest arms and best. And they were brought sooner than can be told. But gentle Raymond in his aged breast, who had mature advice and counsel old, than whom in all the camp were none or few of greater might, before Godfredo drew, and gravely said, "Ah, let it not be tied on one man's hand to venture all this host. No private soldier thou art our guide. If thou mist carry, all our hope were lost. By thee must Babel fall, and all her pride. Of our true faith thou art the prop and post. Rule with thy scepter, conquer with thy word. Let others combat make with spear and sword. Let me this pagan's glorious pride assuage. These aged arms can yet their weapons use. Let others shun Bellona's dreadful rage. These silver locks shall not Raimondo excuse. Oh, that I were in prime of lusty age, like you that this adventure brave refuse, and dare not once lift up your coward eyes against him that you and Christ himself defies. Or as I was when all the lords of fame and Germain princes great stood by to view, in Conrad's court, the second of that name, when Leopold in single fight I slew, a greater praise I reaped by the same so strong a foe in combat to subdue, than he should do who all alone should chase or kill a thousand of these pagans base. Within these arms, had I that strength again, this boasting Paynim had not lived now, yet in this breast doth courage still remain, for age or years these members shall not bow. And if I be in this encounter slain, scot-free Argantes shall not scape, I vow. Give me mine arms, this battle shall with praise augment mine honor got in younger days. The jolly baron old thus bravely spake, his words are spurs to virtue. Every knight that seemed before to tremble and to quake, now talked bold, example hath such might. Each one the battle fierce would undertake, now strove they all who should begin the fight. Baldwin and Roger both would combat fain, Stephen, Guelph, Gernier, and the Gerards twain, and Pyrrhus, who with help of Bohemond's sword, proud Antioch by cunning sleight oppressed. The battle, eke with many a lowly word, Ralph, Rosamond, and Eberard request. A Scottish, an Irish, and an English lord, whose lands the seas divide far from the rest, and for the fight did likewise humbly sue Edward and his Gildippes, lovers true. But Raymond, more than all the rest, doth sue upon that pagan fierce to wreak his ire. Now wants he naught of all his armor's due, except his helm that shone like flaming fire. To whom Godfredo thus, "O mirror true of antique worth, thy courage doth inspire new strength in us. Of Mars in thee doth shine the art, the honor, and the discipline. If 10 like thee, of valor and of age, among these legions I could haply find, I should the best of Babel's pride assuage, and spread our faith from Thule to farthest Ind. But now, I pray thee, calm thy valiant rage, reserve thyself till greater need us bind, and let the rest, each one, write down his name, and see whom fortune chooseth to this game. Or rather, see whom God's high judgment taketh, to whom is chance and fate and fortune slave." Raymond his earnest suit not yet forsaketh, his name writ with the residue would have. Godfrey himself in his bright helmet shaketh the scrolls with names of all the champions brave. They drew, and read the first whereon they hit, wherein was Raymond, Earl of Toulouse, writ. His name with joy and mighty shouts they bless, the rest allow his choice and fortune praise. New vigor blushed through those looks of his. It seemed he now resumed his youthful days. like to a snake whose slough new change it is, that shines like gold against the sunny rays. But Godfrey most approved his fortune high, and wished him honor, conquest, victory. Then from his side he took his noble brand, and giving it to Raymond, thus he spake: "This is the sword wherewith in Saxon land the great Rubello battle used to make. From him I took it, fighting hand to hand, and took his life with it, and many a lake of blood with it I have shed since that day. With thee, God grant it proves as happy may." Of these delays, meanwhile, impatient, Argantes threateneth loud and sternly cries: "O glorious people of the Occident, behold him here that all your host defies! Why comes not Tancred, whose great hardiment with you is prized so dear? Pardee, he lies still on his pillow, and presumes the night again may shield him from my power and might. Why, then, some other come, by hand in hand. Come all, come forth on horseback, come on foot, if not one man dares combat hand to hand in all the thousands of so great a rout. See where the tomb of Mary's son doth stand. March thither, warriors bold, what makes you doubt? Why run you not there for your sins to weep, or to what greater need these forces keep?" Thus scorned by that heathen Saracine were all the soldiers of Christ's sacred name. Raymond, while others at his words repine, burst forth in rage. He could not bear this shame. For fire of courage brighter far doth shine, if challenges and threats augment the same. So that upon his steed he mounted light, which Aquilino for his swiftness hight. This jennet was by Tagus bred, for oft the breeder of these beasts to war assigned, when first on trees burgeoned the blossom soft, pricked forward with the sting of fertile kind, against the air casts up her head aloft, and gathereth seed so from the fruitful wind, and thus conceiving of the gentle blast, a wonder strange and rare, she foals at last. And had you seen the beast, you would have said the light and subtle wind his father was. For if his course upon the sands he made, no sign was left what way the beast did pass. Or if he menaged were, or if he played, he scantly bended down the tender grass. Thus mounted rode the earl, and as he went, thus prayed to heaven his zealous looks upbent: "O Lord that didst save, keep and defend thy servant David from Goliath's rage, and broughtest that huge giant to his end, slain by a faithful child of tender age. Like grace, O Lord, like mercy, now extend. Let me this vile, blasphemous pride assuage, that all the world may to thy glory know, old men and babes thy foes can overthrow." Thus prayed the county, and his prayers dear, strengthened with zeal, with godliness and faith, before the throne of that great Lord appear, in whose sweet grace is life, death in his wrath. Among his armies bright and legions clear, the Lord an angel good selected hath, to whom the charge was given to guard the knight, and keep him safe from that fierce pagan's might. The angel good, appointed for the guard of noble Raymond from his tender eild, that kept him then and kept him afterward, when spear and sword he able was to wield. Now, when his great Creator's will he heard, that in this fight he should him chiefly shield, up to a tower set on a rock he flies, where all the heavenly arms and weapons lies. There stands the lance wherewith great Michael slew the aged dragon in a bloody fight. There are the dreadful thunders forged new, with storms and plagues that on poor sinners light. The massy trident mayest thou pendant view, there on a golden pin hung up in height, wherewith sometimes he smites this solid land, and throws down towns and towers thereon which stand. Among the blessed weapons there which stands, upon a diamond shield his looks he bended, so great that it might cover all the lands 'twixt Caucasus and Atlas hills extended. With it the Lord's dear flocks and faithful bands, the holy kings and cities, are defended. The sacred angel took his target sheen, and by the Christian champion stood unseen. But now the walls and turrets round about, both young and old, with many thousands fill. The King Clorinda sent in her brave rout to keep the field. She stayed upon the hill. Godfrey likewise some Christian bands sent out, which armed and ranked in good array stood still. And to their champions empty let remain, twixt either troop, a large and spacious plain. Argantes looked for Tancredi bold, but saw an uncouth foe at last appear. Raymond rode on, and what he asked him told, better by chance. Tancred is now elsewhere. Yet glory not of that. Myself, behold, am come prepared, and bid thee battle here, and in his place, or for myself to fight. Lo, here I am, who scorn thy heathenish might. The pagan cast a scornful smile and said, but where is Tancred? Is he still in bed? His looks late seemed to make high heaven afraid, but now for dread he is, or dead, or fled. But where earth centers o'er the deep sea made his lurking hole, it shall not save his head. Thou liest, he said, to say so brave a knight is fled from thee, who thee exceeds in might. The angry pagan said, I have not spilt my labor, then, if thou his place supply. Go take the field, and let's see how thou wilt maintain thy foolish words and that brave lie. Thus parleyed they to meet in equal tilt. Each took his aim at other's helm on high. Even in the fight his foe good Raymond hit, but shaked him not, he did so firmly sit. The fierce Circassian missed of his blow, a thing which seld befell the man before. The angel, by unseen, his force did know, and far awry the poignant weapon bore. He burst his lance against the sand below, and bit his lips for rage, and cursed and swore. Against his foe returned he swift as wind, half mad in arms, a second match to find. Like to a ram that butts with horned head, so spurred he forth his horse with desperate race. Raymond at his right hand let slide his steed, and as he passed struck at the pagan's face. He turned again. The earl was nothing dread, yet stepped aside, and to his rage gave place, and on his helm with all his strength gan smite, which was so hard his courtlocks could not bite. The Saracen employed his art and force to grip his foe within his mighty arms, but he avoided nimbly with his horse. He was no prentice in those fierce alarms. About him made he many a winding course. No strength nor sleight the subtle warrior harms. His nimble steed obeyed his ready hand, and where he stepped no print left in the sand. As when a captain doth besiege some hold set in a marsh or high upon a hill, and trieth ways and wiles a hundredfold to bring the peace subjected to his will, so fared the county with the pagan bold. And when he did his head and breast none ill, his weaker parts he wisely gan assail, and entrance searched oft twixt mail and mail. At last he hit him on a place or twain, that on his arms the red blood trickled down, and yet himself untouched did remain. No nail was broke, no plume cut from his crown. Argantes, raging, spent his strength in vain. Waste were his strokes, his thrusts were idle thrown. Yet pressed he on, and doubled still his blows, and where he hits he neither cares nor knows. Among a thousand blows the Saracen at last struck one, when Raymond was so near, that not the swiftness of his aquiline could his dear lord from that huge danger bear. But lo, at hand unseen was help divine, which saves when worldly comforts none appear. The angel on his targe received that stroke, and on that shield Argantes' sword was broke. The sword was broke. Therein no wonder lies, if earthenly tempered metal could not hold against that target forged above the skies. Down fell the blade in pieces on the mould. The proud Circassian scant believed his eyes, though naught were left him but the hilts of gold, and full of thoughts amazed awhile he stood, wondering the Christian's armor was so good. The brittle web of that rich sword, he thought, was broke through hardness of the county's shield, and so thought Raymond, who discovered not what succor heaven did for his safety yield. But when he saw the man against whom he fought, unweaponed, still stood he in the field. His noble heart esteemed the glory light at such advantage if he slew the knight. "Go fetch," he would have said, "another blade," when in his heart a better thought arose, how for Christ's glory he was champion made, how Godfrey had him to this combat chose, the army's honor on his shoulder lays, to hazards new he list not that expose. While thus his thoughts debated on the case, the hilts Argantes hurled at his face, and forward spurred his mounture fierce withal, within his arms, longing his foe to strain, upon whose helm the heavy blow did fall, and bent well nigh the metal to his brain. But he, whose courage was heroic all, leapt by, and makes the pagan's onset vain, and wounds his hand, which he outstretched saw, fiercer than eagle's talon, lion's paw. Now here, now there, on every side he rode, with nimble speed, and spurred now out, now in, and as he went and came, still laid on load, where Lord Argantes' arms were weak and thin. All that huge force which in his arms abode, his wrath, his ire, his great desire to win, against his foe together all he bent, and heaven and fortune furthered his intent. But he whose courage for no peril fails, well-armed and better-hearted, scorns his power. Like a tall ship when spent are all her sails, which still resists the rage of storm and shower, whose mighty ribs fast bound with bands and nails withstands fierce Neptune's wrath for many an hour, and yields not up her bruised keel to winds, in whose stern blast no ruth or grace she finds. Argante, such thy present danger was, when Satan stirred to aid thee at thy need. In human shape he forged an airy mass, and made the shade a body seem indeed. Well might the spirit for Clorinda pass, like her it was, in armor and in weed, in stature, beauty, countenance and face, in looks, in speech, in gesture and in pace. And for the spirit should seem the same indeed, from where she was whose show and shape it had, toward the wall it rode with feigned speed, where stood the people all dismayed and sad, to see their knight of helps have so great need, and yet the law of arms all help forbade. There in a turret sat a soldier stout, to watch, and at a loophole peep it out. The spirit spake to him, called Orodine, the noblest archer then that handled bow. "O Orodine," quoth she, "who straight in line canst shoot, and hit each mark, set high or low. If yonder knight, alas, be slain in fine, as likest is, great ruth it were, you know, and greater shame if his victorious foe should with his spoils triumphant homeward go. Now prove thy skill, thine arrow's sharp head dip in yonder thievish Frenchman's guilty blood. I promise thee thy sovereign shall not slip to give thee large rewards for such a good." Thus said the spirit. The man did laugh and skip for hope of future game, nor longer stood, but from his quiver huge a shaft he bent, and set it in his mighty bow new bent. Twang the string, out flew the quarrel long, and through the subtle air did singing pass. It hit the knight the buckles rich among, where with his precious girdle fastened was. It bruised them, and pierced his hauberk strong. Some little blood down trickled on the grass. Light was the wound, the angel by unseen, the sharp head blunted of the weapon keen. Raymond drew forth the shaft as much behoved, and with the steel his blood outstreaming came. With bitter words his foe he then reproved for breaking faith to his eternal shame. Godfrey, whose careful eyes from his beloved were never turned, saw and marked the same, and when he viewed the wounded county bleed, he sighed and feared, more perchance than need. And with his words and with his threatening eyes, he stirred his captains to revenge that wrong. Forthwith the spurred courser forward hies, within their rests put were their lances long. From either side a squadron brave outflies, and boldly made a fierce encounter strong. The raised dust to overspread begun their shining arms and far more shining sun. Of breaking spears, of ringing helm and shield, a dreadful rumor roared on every side. There lay a horse, another through the field ran masterless, dismounted was his guide. Here one lay dead, there did another yield. Some sighed, some sobbed, some prayed, and some cried. Fierce was the fight, and longer still it lasted. Fiercer and fewer, still themselves they wasted. Argantes nimbly leapt amid the throng, and from a soldier wrung an iron mace, and breaking through the ranks and ranges long, therewith he passage made himself and place. Raymond he sought, the thickest press among, to take revenge for late received disgrace. A greedy wolf he seemed, and would assuage with Raymond's blood his hunger and his rage. The way he found not easy as he would, but fierce encounters put him off to pain. He met Ormano and Rogero bold, of Balnavile, Guy, and the Gerards twain. Yet nothing might his rage and haste withhold. These worthies strove to stop him, but in vain. With these strong lets increased still his ire, like rivers stopped or closely smouldered fire. He slew Ormano, and wounded Guy, and laid Rogero low among the people slain. On every side new troops the man invade, yet all their blows were waste, their onsets vain. But while Argantes thus his prizes played, and seemed alone this skirmish to sustain, the duke his brother called, and thus he spake, "Go with thy troop, fight for thy savior's sake. There enter in where hottest is the fight, thy force against the left wing strongly bend." This said, so brave an onset gave the knight, that many a Paynim bold there made his end. The Turks too weak seemed to sustain his might, and could not from his power their lives defend. Their ensigns rent, and broke was their array, and men and horse on heaps together lay. O'erthrown likewise away the right wing ran, nor was there one again that turned his face, save bold Argantes. Else fled every man. Fear drove them thence on heaps with headlong chase. He stayed alone, and battle new began. 500 men, weaponed with sword and mace, so great resistance never could have made, as did Argantes with his single blade. The strokes of swords and thrusts of many a spear, the shock of many a jest, he long sustained. He seemed of strength enough this charge to bear, and time to strike, now here, now there, he gained. His armors broke, his members bruised were, he sweat and bled, yet courage still he feigned. But now his foes upon him pressed so fast, that with their weight they bore him back at last. His back against the storm at length he turned, whose headlong fury bore him backward still. Not like to one that fled, but one that mourned, because he did his foes no greater ill. His threatening eyes like flaming torches burned, his courage thirsted yet more blood to spill. And every way and every mean he sought to stay his flying mates, but all for naught. This good he did, while thus he played his part, his bands and troops at ease and safe retired. Yet coward dread lacks order, fear wants art, deaf to attend, commanded or desired. But Godfrey that perceived in his wise heart how his bold knights to victory aspired, fresh soldiers sent to make more quick pursuit, and help to gather conquest's precious fruit. But this, alas, was not the appointed day set down by heaven to end this mortal war. The western lords this time had borne away the prize for which they travelled had so far. Had not the devils that saw the sure decay of their false kingdom by this bloody war at once made heaven and earth with darkness blind and stirred up tempest, storm, and blustering wind. Heaven's glorious lamp, wrapped in an ugly veil of shadows dark, was hid from mortal eye, and hell's grim blackness did bright skies assail. On every side the fiery lightnings fly, the thunders roar, the streaming rain and hail pour down and make that sea which erst was dry. The tempests rend the oaks and cedars break, and make not trees but rocks and mountains shake. The rain, the lightning, and the raging wind beat in the Frenchmen's eyes with hideous force. The soldiers stayed, amazed in heart and mind, the terror such that stopped both man and horse. Surprised with this evil, no way they find whither for succor to direct their course. But wise Clorinda soon the advantage spied, and spurring forth thus to her soldiers cried, "You hardy men-at-arms, behold," quoth she, "how heaven, how justice in our aid doth fight. Our visages are from this tempest free, our hands at will may yield our weapons bright. The fury of this friendly storm you see upon the foreheads of our foes doth light, and blinds their eyes. Then let us take the tide. Come, follow me, good fortune be our guide." This said, against her foes on rode the dame, and turned their backs against the wind and rain. Upon the French with furious rage she came, and scorned those eager idle blows they struck in vain. Argantes at the instant did the same, and them who chased him now chased again. Naught but his fearful back each Christian shows against the tempest and against their blows. The cruel hail and deadly wounding blade upon their shoulders smote them as they fled. The blood new spilt while thus they slaughter made, the water fallen from skies had dyed red. Among the murdered bodies Pyrrhus laid, and valiant Ralph his heart-blood out there bled. The first subdued by strong Argantes' might, the second conquered by that virgin knight. Thus fled the French, and then pursued in chase the wicked sprites and all the Syrian train. But gainst their force and gainst their fell menace of hail and wind, of tempest and of rain, Godfrey alone turned his audacious face, blaming his barons for their fear so vain. Himself the camp gate boldly stood to keep, and saved his men within his trenches deep. And twice upon Argantes proud he flew, and beat him backwards, maugre all his might. And twice his thirsty sword he did imbrue in pagan's blood where thickest was the fight. At last himself with all his folk withdrew, and that day's conquest gave the virgin bright. Which got, she home retired, and all her men, and thus she chased this lion to his den. Yet seized not the fury and the ire of these huge storms, of wind, of rain, and hail. Now was it dark, now shone the lightning fire, the wind and water every place assail. No bank was safe, no rampire left entire, no tent could stand when beam and cordage fail. Wind, thunder, rain, all gave a dreadful sound, and with that music deafed the trembling ground. End of the 7th book.